Now we're holding on Ayin Tes Amud Bey's last words. We learned in the Mishnah we had a case of a Ritzeach that was mixed up with other people. So we said the Tanakhama had said they were all potter, and Rabbi Yehuda had said Koin Sinois in La Kippah. We put them all in a Kippah, which according to Rashi is the same Kippah that we're going to talk about in the next Mishnah. Not the next Mishnah, a couple of Mishnahs later, on Daf Pei Aleph, we're going to talk about the very confined area where they put him on a starvation diet, so his stomach shrinks, and then later on they feed him barley and his stomach explodes, etc., as we'll talk about it then. But according to the Aruch HaNer, the Aruch HaNer explains that the Rambam would say that Kippah is just plain old a jail, of a holding cell. So we said that, so what exactly is the case of it here? If those other people are innocent people, then what's the chiddush that they're all potter, and why would Rabbi Yehuda say koin sinois in l'kippah? So far we had two answers. We had Rabbi Bohu in the name of Shmuel, that we're talking about all of them are rotzchim, but one of them was actually convicted by Beis Din, and the other one is we have the Beis Din hasn't given out the conviction yet. And the problem is that in Gimin Dina Shel Adam, El Bafanav, we can't give the verdict unless we know that he's present, and each one of them, we don't know whether he's present or whether it's somebody else. But given that they are all guilty, we have evidence to say that all of them are guilty, just based on hadn't yet given the verdict on some of them, then Rabbi Yehuda says he put them in the kippah, and the Chum say they're still potter. Then we had an answer of Rish Lakish that we're not talking about people at all, we're talking about animals that got mixed up. One Shur HaNiskol, one animal that killed, and now therefore is Chayev Skila, that got mixed up with a bunch of other ones. So we talked about yesterday about why we wouldn't say that the one is bottle in all of them. For one thing, we say that animals are not bottle, but Tosfos also discusses in some detail over here whether there's maybe any possibility that we could be unmevatel them by having them move around, and then we would go according to Rav, and we talked about that a little bit yesterday, and we'll talk about it more. We'll talk about it more. That's the Shem in connection with points further in the Gemara over here. So now another answer. Omar Rava. So Rava says here's a different explanation of what's going on in the Mishnah. Well, first Rava asks, Ihachi, if you're going to tell me, like Rish Lakish, that you're talking about the case where you have a bunch of animals mixed up, one of which is a shor haniskol and the other ones are not. So Ihachi, if you're going to say that, says Rava, Ha'idukatani Allah, what about then we have a Braisa referring to our Mishnah that continues, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Afilo Abba Chalafta Beinehen. Rabbi Yossi says, you should know the din of our Mishnah would apply even if Abba Chalafta was between them. Now, the general understanding is that Rabbi Yossi is Berab Chalafta, and therefore Chalafta is his father. So he said, and Rabbi Yossi's father, Rabbi Chalafta, was known to be a great chosid. We find in a number of places in Shas where it refers to him as such. So Rabbi Yossi is saying that even if the din of our Mishnah would be that even if one of them is Abba Chalafta, my father Chalafta, who was known to be a chosid, and there's no way that he would have killed anybody, nevertheless, we can't say, well, for sure he wasn't the Ritzeach over here, and therefore, fine, let's just exempt him for sure, and then we'll start dealing with what we do with everybody else. No, we have to consider that we have this mix-up, and therefore whatever din applies to the rest of them is going to apply to him. By the way, I mean, we know a person is not allowed to call his father by his name. The Vilna Gaon actually learns from here that we, from here and from similar other things elsewhere in Shas, that we see that if a person prefixes a title to it, he would be allowed to. Because here, Abba is a title. It doesn't just mean it means my father, but it was also a title of respect that they used in those days, similar to Reb or something like that. With that said, though, Margolius Hayam brings the possibility that maybe Rabbi Yossi over here is not No, Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta, but rather a different Rabbi Yossi, and in that case, then there's no proof, because then, obviously, he'd be allowed to refer to him by his name, but he's referring to him with a title. In any case, the point is, Rava says, if Rabbi Yossi is referring to Rabbi Chalafta being part of that crowd, then obviously we can't be talking about it's a bunch of animals mixed together. Necessarily, we're talking about people. But then we're back to, so now Rabbi Bo's explanation was that we're talking about people. First of all, you'd have a problem with that anyway, because, again, we're saying they're all convicted, they are all Rotzchim, just that one of them was convicted and the other is not. Well, that still doesn't fit with the idea, supposing that one of them was Abba Chalafta. But in any case, also, you have the question that Rish Lakish had asked we didn't have a question that Rish Lakish asked, but fine, yeah, so it wouldn't work out according to either of the previous answers. Ella Omer Rava Hachi Kamer. Rather, Rava says, the Mishnah is talking about as follows. Shnayim Shoyo Oimdin. The Mishnah is telling us as follows. Suppose you have two people standing there. All of a sudden, an arrow came from their direction and killed somebody. But we don't know which one of the two of them shot that arrow. So in other words, Rava is going to tell us. Now, the case Rabbi Boho was talking about is, to begin with, we basically knew who's who. To begin with, they had a Ritzeach who was brought over there for conviction, and they convicted him. And then we have other Rotzchim that were also brought there, and they heard the Eidos and all of that. They just hadn't given the verdict yet. But so this is, in other words, that Beistin knew to begin with which one of that each one of them killed and knew the circumstances. Here we're talking about, Rava says, in the case of our Mishnah, is where they didn't know to begin with which one it was that killed. So here you have, all of a sudden, there came flying an arrow from the direction of these two people, and we have no way of knowing which one it was that actually shot it. So now Rava is saying, so that would be, so Shneim Pturin, so both of them would be Potter. So both of them would be Potter. Now Rava says that's not actually the case where Rabbi Yehuda would be arguing and saying Koin Sinois and Lakippa. How could Rabbi Yehuda say that you're going to put them in the Kippa when one of them is innocent? So Rava is going to explain basically that the Mishnah is chasuri mechsada. The Mishnah is missing words, but he's going to say you have two dinim in the Mishnah. The first case is where we don't even know which one of them killed, so then shneim pturin. So then both of them are potter. V'amar Rabbi Yossi, and on that, in the Braiser, Rabbi Yossi says, I feel the Abba Chalafta b'nehen, even if one of those two people was Abba Chalafta. Meaning, in other words, there's no possibility that he's the one who shot the arrow and killed. Wouldn't that necessarily mean, therefore, that it has to have been the other person? And maybe that should be enough evidence, if not maybe to execute him in Beistin. Fine, we need Eidim Vasra and all that, but maybe at least to punish him severely. Rabbi Yossi says no, because the fact is that we don't have, it's true. Logically, we would say there's no way that Abba Chalafta would have shot that arrow, but nevertheless, the possibility still exists, and therefore you can't punish the other guy based on that. So that's the Me'ili points out what we mean is even if both of them were given Hasra, it's still not going to help, because the fact is we don't know which one actually acted on that Hasra. Anyway, so that's the first part of the Mishnah. Then Rava says that now the Mishnah is also continuing with another case, so it's kind of like a chasuri mechsara. And then you have now, I agree, says Rava, that part of the Mishnah is talking about a shur, like Rish Lakish said, but not the whole Mishnah, because then Rabbi Yossi's statement wouldn't fit with it. So now a second point in the Mishnah is v'shur shenigmar dinoy, when you have a shur that was convicted by Beis Din, and is going to be given skila. She is out of the shvaron acherim malia, and it's mixed up with other perfectly good oxen. Then the Tanakama would be saying you give them all skila. Because of the suffix, because we don't know which one is the shvaron iskol, all of them are chayav. All of them are going to be osa b'hana, and therefore we're going to have to give them skila. And here is where Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Koinsin Oysen Lakippa, and Rabbi Yehuda says we're not going to give them skila because we're not going to burden Beis Din with giving them skila when the whole matter is only a suffix. So rather, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, Kunsinois on the Kippah, we put them in the Kippah, and eventually they die over there. So in other words, Rabbi Yehuda is basically saying that, listen, you anyway have a suffix over here. One of them is Vadai, fine, but the rest of them, well, we don't know. And why should we be Matriach Destin to give Skila to a bunch of animals that may not be required? Just in order to be Mekayim. So the Tanakama is going to say that, yeah, you have to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Skila. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds, don't be Matriach Destin, you just put him in the Kippah. So here's where you have the point. In other words, why don't we say that the one shur is Botol Beroiv. So now this continues with the point that we were talking about in Tosfos yesterday, that usually we say there's Bitol Beroiv, and then on the other hand, one point is Bali Chaim, animals are not Botol Beroiv. But then, in addition, you also have that the animals are kosher, they're not bottle. But then also part of that long Tosfos from yesterday that continues over most of this Amud, the Dibra Maschal B'Shur, part of it, Tosfos talks about the idea that maybe, in fact, if the animal, as long as the animals are in one place, then, right, like we learned yesterday, we have the concept of kol kavua, to mechzal mechtadami. Each one of them, even though it's only the minority, might be considered, is considered in halacha, as though it was half the group. If they were to move around, then in fact we would say that it could be bottle, but Tosfos discusses the possibility that actually maybe you could be matred. In fact, you do that, make the animals move around, and then we would say then maybe we could go according to the roiv, and then it would be bottle. Maybe you can't do that lachatchila, but maybe at least you can do it. But maybe at least you can do it b'di'eved. So Mar Shor actually understands Tosfos to be saying that what we're going to do is we still have to figure out, is there one particular ox or a few particular oxen in this mixture that seem to be that seems more likely are the ones that killed. Now, unlike with people where we can't kill them based on circumstantial evidence like that with animals, there's no din like that. So therefore, so we will figure out by circumstantial evidence which one is more likely to be the killer, and then we can and then maybe we can give even according to the Chachamim, we can give skill only to that one, and then we can let the other ones go and say that we can be toiler, we can assume that one was killed and the roiv are fine. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Tam himself says, and Rabbeinu Tam has, besides Tosfos over here, has a sefer of his own called Sefer HaYosher, Sefer of Halachos, and he explains that no, the fact is, since you have a mitzvah, or the outer Haromik Kirbecha, you do have a din, that based din is responsible to get rid of evil things, so therefore they would have, according to the Chachamim, they would have to give them all skila regardless, and we can't say that, then we can't say any idea of Bitul Beroiv. So it seems that Mar Shor probably didn't have available Sefer HaYosher to him, otherwise he might not have understood Rabbi Natan the way he does. But then you also have other Rishonim who learn actually that no, even if the animals do move once they became Osir, then we can't be, once they became Osir, we can't be Matur them again. The Marshal talks about this, and Marshal in turn, answers on Marshal. So there's a lot of discussion about all this. Then there's another point that maybe Lachatchila, don't make them move around, and if you do, then it's called the Ein Mevatlin Issa Lachatchila, but if they move around on their own, then in fact it'll be Botel Beroiv. So there's a lot of lumdus that comes into this in connection with the whole matter of Bitel Beroiv and when we can say it. When not. So in any case, so that's how Rava learns the Mishnah. So again, Rav Abahu and Rish Lakish had both understood that the Mishnah is talking about only one case. The first part of the Mishnah is talking about only one case, Ritzeach and Sarabachirim, where Rav Abahu had understood it to be one Ritzeach that was convicted with a bunch of other Rotzchim who were not convicted, and Rish Lakish had understood it to be referring to animals. Now Rava is kind of combining those two explanations and saying there's two different dinim in the Mishnah. One where you have one way we don't even know which person was the killer, because an arrow just flew out from their area and we have no way of knowing which one it was that shot it. So then everybody agrees that they're Potter, and then you have the second part, and then the second case within that is, what if it was a bunch of oxen, one of which killed and the other ones didn't, where the Chum say we give them all skila, and Rabbi Yehuda agrees we have to have them all die, but we don't want to be matriarch based in to do that, so we do this because it's just a suffix, and therefore we put them all on the kippah. Okay, and the Gemara says v'ha tanya, and indeed we learn a brisa like the way Rava explains. Because the Braisa says, Pora Shem Misa V'Achakach Yolda, if a cow killed someone and then afterwards it gave birth, usually we talk about a shur, which is a male, but here if we're talking about giving birth, we have to be talking about a female. So we know the din of shur on niskal applies to any animal. Like we talked about the other day, for example, a snake that killed somebody, whether the snake is going to be Chayav Misa. So the same thing would be as far as a cow. So here the cow killed someone and later it gave birth. So iman shel enigma dina yolda. So the Braisa says if it gave birth before the gemar din vlada mutter, then the baby is mutter. Because there's mutter b'hana, because then it's not considered part of its mother. The imish enigma dina yolda, but if the mother gave birth after the gemar din vlada oser, then the baby is oser because then it's considered part of the mother. So the gemara is going to analyze this braisa and figure it out. But then the braisa continues. The point is, in other words, that we're going to say as we go on in this braisa that we see that there's machloikus about if the animals get mixed up, which bears out Rava's explanation of the mishnah that we're talking about where the animals got mixed up. So the braisa continues, if that animal that is chayev misa got, and in this case we're talking about the baby, got mixed up with other ones, and even you have one member of the second group then got mixed up into a third group. Now sometimes in halacha we do say that even though we can't be mevatel, even though the original one is not batel in the second group, but sometimes we say if part of the second group gets mixed up into a third group, then sometimes we're going to say kol de parish midrubah parish, that we can assume that the one that got mixed in came from the roiv, and the roiv is mutter, so therefore such a thing should be allowed. So Tosfos points out that there are other places where the Gemara talks about this idea about sex faker, and there are in fact different Gemaras where we discuss whether we have the girsa acherim ba'acherim or not. Here actually Tosfos says the acherim ba'acherim would actually not necessarily mean, like we just said, that you had one member of the second group that then got mixed up into a third group, but rather we'd be talking about where the entire second group got mixed up into a third group. So in other words, the scenario would be you have this vlad of the pora that gored and that killed somebody and therefore is going to be chayav nisa. That vlad we said was born after the gemar din and therefore it's also because it was part of the mother of the time of the Gemara Din. Now, if that baby gets mixed up with a group, and then if that entire group gets mixed up with another group, then nevertheless, we're still going to say that later group is also, even though Tosfos points out we have a double roiv. But because after all, you have the one vlad that was mixed up with a bunch of others that are a larger number than it, and then you have that group was in turn mixed up with a larger group. So you have two roivs. Nevertheless, that's not good enough. But in other words, Tosfos is saying, according to that way of explaining it, if what you would have is the vlad got mixed up with a group, and then one member of that group went and got mixed up with another group, then maybe we would say that the second group is not going to be chayav misa according to anybody, because then already we would say that we could assume that the one that's osur was in the group that remained behind, and not in the one individual that got mixed up with it. Okay. In any case, so the Braisa is saying again that you have this vlad got mixed up with others and others with others. So then koinsenois in the kippah. So then we put them all in the kippah. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon Omer mevia nois in the basin, the seiko nois. And whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says we bring them all to basin and give them skila. So we see that the machloikas of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon and the Tanakama is exactly the same as how Rava is understanding the machloikas in our Mishnah of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, namely, in a case of suffix like that, does Beis Din still have to fulfill the mitzvah of skila, and if that therefore means bringing all these animals and giving them skila, then so be it. Or Or is it going to be that that we don't want to be matriach beistin when the whole thing is only a matter of suffix, and therefore we're not going to bother with skila, we're just going to put him in the kippah and have done with it, pay him an aleph. So thus far the b'raisa. Now let's analyze this b'raisa. Amamar, imach l'nigma dini yolda. We said if the para that had killed gave birth before the gemar din v'loda mutter, then the baby is mutter. Now, the b'raisa did not distinguish when the parah became pregnant. So, does that mean that this din would apply even if the parah was pregnant at the time that it killed? And still we'd say that if it gave birth before the gemar din, then the baby is not ulcer. Why? The baby of an animal that gored is ulcer. He of vlada nagchu, because she and the baby together did the negicha. In other words, basically the baby is considered part of the mother. The baby was in the mother's womb at the time. So when the mother animal killed, the baby animal, so to speak, joined in the killing as well, and therefore should also be osur. So in other words, it's one thing we can distinguish. Maybe we can say that if it wasn't pregnant at the time yet of the negicha, and then later on it became pregnant, and then it gave birth before the gemar din, fine. Maybe you can say the baby should be mutter. But based on what Rava is saying, if the mother was in fact pregnant at the time, then Rava is actually talking about a case where the mother is not chayav misa, because Rashi explains based on the relevant Gemara in Tmura that we're talking about where there was only one aid, or the owner himself came to Beis Din and admitted what happened. Either way, we don't give the animal skila. For that, you need two aidim. What we're talking about over here, rather, when Rava says vlad and agachas osir, he's talking about as far as bringing the vlad as a korban. Meaning, an animal that killed is possible to be brought as a korban, even if we don't have enough evidence to convict him. For example, there's only one aid. Nevertheless, such an animal is possible for a korban. So now, Rava points out, that applies not only to the mother, but also to the baby that she was carrying at the time. Because again, Vlada Nagachas Osir is also to be brought as a korban. Hiu Vlada Nagchu, because it's considered that the mother and the baby together did the Nagicha. So again, even though we're not talking about where we're going to be executing them, but still, it's still possible as a korban. So, and the same way, Rava continues, Vlad HaNirbas, also the same way, the baby of an animal that was used for bestiality, which is also possible for a korban, so the baby is also possible, he Vlad HaNirbu, because again, you say that the Revia was on the mother and the baby. Basically, Uber Yerach Imayhu, the baby is considered a part of the mother, and therefore whatever happened to the mother is considered to have happened to the baby as well. This point of Uber Yerach Imayhu is discussed in several places in Shas, but here Rava is saying that that's how it is. So now, the previous Braisa had said that which we said that this previous braisa bears out Rava's point. We said that the shur killed and then later on it gave birth, and we're only distinguishing between whether it gave birth before gemar din or afterwards. But Rashi explains, in other words, we do see, based on Rava's own din, about he of Lada Nagfu, he of Lada Nirbu, then we see, in other words, where there are Edim, and there could be skila involved, then in fact we have to, then in fact the gemar din is going to apply to both of them. So in other words, because Rashi explains, we can't be saying the point is that there was no gemar din, that there was no gemar din on the baby. Then the mother, if we're talking about there was no gemar din, the mother is not also yet either. So the point is, in other words, that by saying that the vlad is mutter in the previous braisa, in effect, what we're saying is we don't have to bring that vlad to Beis Din in the first place. Well, why not? Based on what Rava is saying, we should have to, because the vlad was part of the mother at the time of the negicha. And again, that's reason enough to make it osur for a korban, and that should be reason enough also that if we're talking about where there are edim involved and it's being brought to Beis Din, then in fact we should be bringing the baby to Beis Din as well. So the answer is, you're right. Eimer, we have to fix up the previous braisa and say as follows, that it is going to make that distinction. Im abshal enigma din ibra v'yolda, if after the killing and before the gemar din, the mother became pregnant and gave birth, v'loda mutter, then the baby is mutter, because then you don't have you can't say the baby is also because he of v'loda nogcha, because the baby did not exist at that time, it hadn't been conceived yet. And it was born before the Gemara Din, and therefore at the time of the Gemara Din, it wasn't part of the mother either. Now the only problem is that the mother may be Osir, but no, because the mother is not Osir until Gemara Din. The Imish Enigma Dina, Ibra V'Yolda. But if after the Gemara Din, the mother became pregnant and gave birth. So now the problem is that even though it's true that the baby didn't exist yet at the time of the Negicha or the time of the Gemara Din, the problem is the Vlad is still going to be Osir because it came from a mother that is Osir. So we have, for example, in the halachas of kashrus, kolay yotzim and tomei, generally speaking, anything that comes from a non-kosher animal is itself non-kosher. So the same way over here, once the mother is chayav misa and osa b'ana, then the baby that comes from it is also going to be, osa. Well, the Gemara says, Hanichal manda omer, zevezeh gerdem osa. Now let's consider, a baby, you need a male and a female to produce a baby. Now the male that this cow mated with is not osir. If we're talking about it itself as a shur and iskel, then fine, we can talk about that, but we're talking about it's a plain old shur that mated with this female that had killed, and now, so what you have is what's called zevezeh gerdem. You have two factors that bring about the conception and eventually the birth of this baby animal, one that's osir and one that's mutter. So if you say, now, there's a machlokas in a number of places in Shas about this concept zevezeh gerdem. So in other words, a case like that, we have two factors that contribute to make something happen. One of them also, one of them mutter. We're going to have examples of that, for example, later this year in Masechta Avodah Zarah, for example, Beis Hashem, you have, let's say, a case where a person plants something under an Asherah tree, where the leaves that fall off the Asherah tree help fertilize the soil, but the soil itself is mutter, so it's an example of Zevzeh Gerdem. So you have a number of examples like that. So now, there's machloikas in various places in Shas, Rashi points out the main place where it talks about it is in the Sefer Tzmura, is in connection with these dinim about animals that are also to be brought as korbanos. So if you say zevezeh gerdem also, then fine. We're saying even though half of the genetic material for this baby came from a bull that's not osir, but the other half came from this cow that is osir because it's already gemar din. So therefore you can say on that basis that the baby is osir. Also to be brought as a korban, and again that may be that if there were edim, then you would actually have to bring it to basin. Elul manda omer zevezeh gerdem mutter, but if you're going to say zevezeh gerdem is mutter, then in that case, why would there even be a question of the baby being also in the first place? Ma'iklamemer. Then what are you going to say? Yes, you have that half the baby comes from this potter that's also, but the other half comes from a shur which is mutter. And here we're talking about again, it wasn't conceived before the attack. So therefore you can't say he of Lodon Nogho, you can't say that it participated in the attack. And when it was conceived and born after Gemar Din, then fine, but you still have, again, that only half of it comes from something that's also, the other half comes from Heter, and why should that be a reason for the baby to be also? Tosfos actually points out that we have a concept also the Gemara discusses in other places, choshishim l'zera ha'ad. B'chol, when it comes to animals, do we even take the father animal into consideration? One place this comes up is in the halachas of Osev es Benoi. We know the Torah tells us, you know, to shecht the parent and baby animal on the same day. So we know that that applies to the mother animal and the baby. Does it also apply to the father? So that the Gemara discusses that point in Cholin, and it also discusses a relevant point over there is also if you have a hybrid between a domestic and a wild animal as far as dinim as far as these didn't, because the din of Oysa Vespinoi applies only to domestic animals anyway, you have, so, so now you also have, then, you have, so Tosfos points out, this Braisa that we were saying before about points in the Kippur is according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda himself holds, Ein Choshem L'Zera'av, we don't even take into consideration the genetics of the father, as far as we're concerned, even though, of course, biologically, the baby comes from both parents, but as far as Halacha is concerned, we discount the father when it comes to animals entirely. Well, then what do you mean, Zev Zagodim? Then it comes out that you have one animal, the mother, that produced this baby. So Tosfos says, first of all, the Gemara itself over there isn't sure whether Rabbi Yehuda himself is certain of that point or not. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda himself considers it as a suffix. And also Tosfos says another point there when you're talking about in Cholin. As far as Oysa Vespinoi, each one, the mother and the father by themselves, are mutter. The question is only as far as whether an issu is created by the combination of them. But here you're talking about one of them is the mother animal, after all, is also, so therefore, so then we would have to consider choshen l'zera'av. In any case, so if you're going to say zev zev godim, then what are you going to say? Why are we talking about the baby being also in the first place? It was conceived after Gmar Din, but it's also from something else, which is mutter, the father. So why don't we, and again, like Tosfos is saying, at least here where the father is mutter, even though the mother is also, maybe we should take that into consideration. Elo Amar Ravina, so you're right. Ravina says we can't fix up the braisa. So again, we're trying to fix up the braisa that we brought before that just distinguished between whether the baby was born after Gemar Din or before it. So we're still trying to fix up that braisa. So Amar Ravina, Ema, so you're right. You have to fix up the braisa and say as follows: Im Abshalom Nigma Din Ibra V'Yolda. If the mother animal that killed had become pregnant and gave birth before Gmar Din, v'lodem mutter, then the baby is mutter, because now you have no problem at all. Now it wasn't in her womb when the negicha took place, so you can't say he v'lodem nagchu, and it was born before Gmar Din, and it's only at Gmar Din that the mother animal becomes osur. The im adshel nigma dina ibra or mishin nigma dina yolda, but if the mother became pregnant before Gmar Din and then gave birth after Gmar Din, Vlada Osir, then the Vlad is going to be Osir, not because he or Vlada Nagchu, because then the baby wasn't yet in existence at the time of the attack, but rather because Uber Yerach Imayhu, because the baby is considered to be a part of its mother. And therefore, when the Gemar Din was done, and the mother was pregnant at the time, then the baby was convicted along with it.
You say that by a Saita too?
By Saita? Where is Uber Yerachim Ayahu coming with a Saita?
Whether we wait for her to give birth?
No, I mean, the Gemara mentions, I don't know if it talks about that anywhere as far as a Soita, if we wait for her to give birth. We do have, the Gemara mentions, and the Mishnah mentions in Erchin, that in general, if a pregnant woman is convicted by Beis Din, then generally speaking, we execute her rather than waiting for the baby to be born. Only if she already went into labor, then we wait for the baby to be born, and then we do that. So, so we do generally say Uber Yerach Imayhu, although, I mean, that itself is a point of discussion in a few places in Shas, but that's what we're saying. Because Uber Yerach Imayhu, therefore, it's considered to be, part of the part of the mother, and therefore, when the mother animal is convicted, then so is the baby. So Tosfos actually discusses in some detail over here whether in fact that is the halacha, and Tosfos points out, now before we said, for example, when we mentioned Zev Zagodim, the Gemara asked how you're going to understand it according to the two respective opinions. The fact that the Gemara doesn't mention that over here would seem to indicate that the halacha is in fact Uber Yerach Imayhu, and then, yeah, Tosfos goes and discusses how that applies to various other areas in halacha. Laura Choner actually says that maybe, even according to the Rishonim who say, That even according to the opinions that we say that Uber is not Yerach Imay, that Dafka over here we would say Uber Yerach Imay Hu, because again we're talking specifically about Gmar Din, and therefore, in other words, when Gmar Din was done, then maybe that makes, in other words, Gmar Din was done on the entire animal and everything that depends on its chayos, namely the baby as well. But yeah, maybe for other areas in halacha we wouldn't necessarily say Uber Yerach Imay. So yeah, Tosfos discusses at some length and discusses various places across Shas where this point comes up.
Can you please encapsulate what you said, that halachas, whether
So now Ravina is saying, the Braisa is saying as follows. The Braisa didn't address the case where the animal was pregnant when it attacked. For that, we have Rava's din on Amud Aleph, Hiu Vlad and Nogfu, that when the mother was pregnant at the time of the attack, then we say that the baby, in effect, participated in the attack as well, and then therefore when the mother is convicted in Beis Din, then the baby is going to be, well, so therefore, so it means, in other words, that if we're talking about as far as bringing the baby as a korban, it's going to be also regardless, even if we only have one aid, etc., and if we're talking about as far as the baby itself being chayiv skila, then we're going to say we have to bring it to Beis Din, and yeah, it's going to be judged together with its mother, because again, hiu vlad and nagu. Now, then you have a second possibility, which is the mother was not pregnant at the time of the attack and became pregnant later on. So now we're going to distinguish between, so now we have on the one hand, so again, if we say Zev is a Godem also, then we're not talking about that, but within the opinion of Zev is a Godem Mutter, now at this point, this baby was brought about by two factors, one which may be also the mother and one which is definitely Mutter, the father. So now, if the baby is born before the Gmar Din, no problem. The mother herself is not also yet. But if the baby is born after Gmar Din, meaning at the time of Gmar Din, it was still part of the mother, that's when you say, Uba Yerachemai, who... And therefore, we're going to say that the baby is going to be Chayiv Skila as well. So what does this have to do? So now Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah Konsinos and Lekippa, that was the previous Braisa. We said Nisara Bachem, Konsinos and Lekippa, the Tanakama had said Rabbi Shimon had said we give them all skila. So this Braisa, the Tanakama of that Braisa is Rabbi Yehuda. But the point is, we were saying that how does that fit with Rava's din of Vlad and Nogfu? So now we're saying because the Braisa is talking about where the mother was not yet pregnant at the time of the attack, and therefore it's not a question of Hiyuv Lada Nagchu. There's other factors involved. Whereas here we're talking about whereas Rava's din is talking about Hiyuv Lada Nagchu, where it was pregnant at the time.
We always distinguish it from pregnant.
So that's really, well. So now she actually uses the word buka ubra, which means you can tell that it's pregnant. So there's that factor as well to consider. So actually, Rashi uses the expression the iman shel nigma din of buka ubra. If before the gmar din you were able to tell that the animal is pregnant. So the Rashash says that seems to be a toe sofer. What do you mean, hukka ubra? What's the difference? If nigma dina before the baby was recognized, before it was recognizable that she's pregnant, then all the more so ubra yerachimahu. Fine. Maybe it's not a toe sofer in Rashi though. Maybe Rashi is saying fakert. If when it gored, you couldn't tell it was pregnant. Only later on the baby developed, and now you can tell it's pregnant, even though we know later on it gives birth, and we can calculate backwards and realize that it was pregnant at the time of negicha. Nevertheless, maybe we're not going to say who of Lord and Nogu if the baby wasn't even recognizable yet. Bechlal, by the way, when we're saying that the baby would get skila, actually, so no, the Rambam says that no, the Rambam and the Ramah, and the Rambam in the relevant halachas, as far as Nizke Momen and Nisuri Mizbeach, and the Ramah and all Gemara over here say that there is a difference. Now, we're saying Hiu Vlad Nogu, and we're saying Uber Yerach Imayhu. What's the difference? The difference is, when we say Uber Yerach Imayhu, we're not going to give the baby skila. It just means it's part of the Isser of the mother. So fine, it's also to bring it as a korban, or it's et cetera, but in order to give skila, it has to have been part of the negicha, and it wasn't because it wasn't conceived yet. As opposed to when we say, then we would actually give the baby skila as well, because then it's considered that it actually participated in the negicha. So fine, so therefore the bottom line is that the braisa that we brought on Amud Aleph does not contradict Rava's din, because we have several different details within the din over here. Okay. Now, the Mishnah said, Kol Chayovim Misses. The Mishnah described a case where any time that you have people who are Chayav Misa, so the previous case of the Mishnah had been talking about where some of them are Chayav Misa and some not, according to all the various explanations that we said, whether we're talking about one Ritzeach Shenigma Dinoi and a bunch of other Rotzchim that Loi Nigma Dinon, or whether we're talking about one Shur and Niskol together with a bunch of other Shvarim, or Rava's explanation, that the Mishnah was talking about two different cases, one where we don't know who killed, and the other where you have a bunch of Shvarim that are mixed up. Now, though, the Mishnah continued with another point that when all of them, we know they're Chayiv Misa, but we got them mixed up, and now we don't know which one's a Chayiv, which Misa. So then we say we give them the lesser punishment, and then you have the Machlokas Reb Shimon and the Chachamim, which is considered the lesser punishment, and which one the greater ones. So, the Mishnah had said that anybody who's chayiv misa and they get mixed up, then we do that, we give them the lesser misa. So the Gemara says, Shema Mina, does that mean we can deduce from our Mishnah, Musru the Dover Chomer, having Musru the Dover Kal, that when a person is given, Asura for something more stringent, then it also includes something more lenient. Because in other words, we would say the more lenient is included. Now, the point is, it seems it has to be that way, because otherwise, for example, let's say, so again, we have these people who are Chayiv Sechila and who are Chayiv Sreifa mixed up with one another, and we're saying, according to the Tanna Kamma, we give them Sreifa, and according to the Shimon Sechila, because respectively, that's the lesser punishment, according to each one of them. Well, if we weren't to say Musru L'Dover Chomer is Musru L'Dover Akal, then how could we give them the lesser punishment? They're not Chayiv that lesser punishment. They weren't given Hasra for that lesser punishment. So the person, let's say, so you have one person with Mechal Shabbos, and they told him, don't do that, you're going to be Chayiv Sechila, and somebody else was going to have relations with one of his relatives that we learned about at the beginning of the parak, and they tell him, don't do that, you're going to be Chayiv Sreifa. Well, if now they get mixed up and we don't know which one was which, then how can we give them all Sreifa according to the Tanna Kamma, or all Sechila according to Reb Shimon? The fact is they were given Hasra only for Sechila, only for Sreifa, respectively. So that would mean that we'd have to say Musru L'Dover Chomer, when they're given Hasra for a stronger Misra, automatically includes having Musra L'Dover Akal, and automatically that includes Hasra for lesser punishments as well. It seems from the Mishnah we necessarily have to say that. But the Gemara answer is Amar Rav Yirmiyah could go into Hocha Maiskin and into history by Sam. So actually now Tosfos does point out over here that a couple of things Tosfos points out, but one point is that actually we learned earlier in the Masechta, you have a case where a person was convicted by Beis Din, and they can, for whatever reason, they can't give him the actual Misa that he's supposed to, so then we learned from Sukkim that we give him, at least in certain cases, we said that we kill him with whatever Misa we can. We talked about Eretzeach over there, for example. Eretzeach is supposed to get headache, but let's say he's running away and we can't get him, so then we kill him with whatever Misa is available. So what's the problem over here? You have a person who's Chayiv Sechila and another person who's Chayiv Sreifa. We know they're definitely Chayiv Misa. We can't give them both Sechila because you can't be Machmer on them unnecessarily. But fine, based on that consideration, we should say automatically, therefore, we give them Sreifa. Why is the Gemara so bothered by that point?
What was the Eretz Timsa? The person's Eretz Timsa is that we're saying,
let's say you have a Ritzeach. He's supposed to be getting Hereg, but now let's say he's running away and we can't get him with Hereg. So how do we know that we can kill him with any Misa? And that means even not one of the four Misas based in. Well, by the same token over here, if we can't give this person Skila, because maybe he's the one who's Chayiv Sreifa, fine, there should be no question we give him Sreifa. What's the problem? So Tosfos refers over here to what they said over there, and they gave a couple of answers. First of all is, the Gemara had learned there on Memhei Amud Beis, the Gemara had learned that applies to certain kinds of people who are Chayiv Misa. It doesn't necessarily apply across the board. We said we had Shnei Ksum Avayim Ke'echad, so we don't necessarily apply it across the board. The din of our Mishnah would apply across the board, no matter what kind of Aveira they had done. Second of all, also Tosfos says, it's different when the person is running away. Meaning the Maharam teaches on that what Tosfos means by that, where he's running away, where he's refusing to accept on himself the punishment that Beis Din is supposed to give him, so then fine, we're saying that we can kill him with some other Misa so he doesn't get away with it. But here we're talking about he is willing to accept the Misa Beis Din. We just ourselves don't know which Misa Beis Din he's Chayev. So therefore, the Gemara is bothered by the question that how could you give him Sreifa when he was given Asura for Skila only, and maybe that means only Skila and not Sreifa. Okay, so the answer is, I'm going to be a Yehocha Maiskin country history by Stam. Because the case of our Mishnah would be where they didn't give him Asura, they told him explicitly, you're going to be Chayiv Sechila, you're going to be Chayiv Sreifa. They told him just in general, you're going to be Chayiv Misa. So now, he's Chayiv Misa no matter what. The High Tana, who namely the therefore our Mishnah, goes according to the following Tana. The Tanya, Ushar Chayov and Mrs. Shabbat Torah. Now this is a continuation of that point that we were learning just now about the case of the Ritzeach, where we said that if we can't kill him with actually this is rather except for a Mesis. We said a Mesis, we learned earlier in the Masechta, you don't need full Hasra for him. We talked about earlier in the Masechta, do you need Hasra at all? Do you need at least some form of Hasra? We talked about earlier when we were learning about the Mesis on Daf Samach Vav, we were talking about that the person who the Mesis is trying to convince tells him, you know, how could we abandon Hashem and go worship and then go worship useless of Adazaras, Daf Samach Zayin, whatever. So that would be sort of like that would be a form of Hasra. So you don't need necessarily explicit Hasra like you would in other cases. And we talked about over there, the Edom can be hiding behind a fence or something, etc. So by Mesis, you have those rules. But the Braisa continues, Ushar Chayvim Mesis Shabbat Torah. Anybody else in the Torah is Chayvim. For that, you need an Eda, you need a basin of 23, and you need Edim, and you need Asra. Rashi points out even the Mesis, you need Eda and Edim. We're mentioning these things as a group. The main point of the Braisa is that a Mesis does not require regular Asra, whereas everybody else does. The Braisa continues, it's not enough to give Masra to tell him this thing is Osir, they have to tell him this thing is Osir, and you're going to be Chayiv Mrs. Basin for it. Rabbi Yehuda says, even that's not enough. There is a Misa who Nerag. Rabbi Yehuda says he would actually have to tell him which Misa he's going to get. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, in other words, the din of our Mishnah maybe couldn't work unless we say Musra the Dava Chomer, have a Musra the Dava Cow. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, they tell him you're chayiv skila, then automatically there's a according to Rabbi Yehuda, then you couldn't necessarily give him sreifa unless you say that by telling him you're chayiv skila also includes sreifa. According to the Tanakhama, it's not necessary. To the according to the Tanakhama, you could tell him in the first place you're going to be chayiv misa, and therefore that means. So you still can't give him something that's more chomer than what he's supposed to get, which is why when you have the suffix between the skolem and the serafim, you can't give him all of them skila, because some of them are chayiv, a lesser punishment, sreifa, and you can't be machmer on them unnecessarily. But nevertheless, you can still, even if you say, musul adava chomer, like have a musul adava akal.
Why is it good according to the Tanakhama?
Because according to the Tanakhama, again, you don't need to tell him in the first place what misa he's chayiv. So therefore, so now, in the end, you were supposed to give him skila because he was machal Shabbos or Baal Imoy or whatever, and instead you're saying you're going to give him Sleifa because you got mixed up with somebody that Baal Bitoy, no problem, because to begin with, you didn't tell him when he was about to do the Avera, you're going to be Chayiv Skila. We told him to begin with, you're going to be Chayiv Misa. So fine, whatever Misa we can give him, then we'll work. But Rabbi Yehuda is saying you have to tell him which Misa. So where do we learn this from? Tanakama Yalef and Mekoshish. The Tanakama learns this concept from the Mekoshish, because by the Mekoshish Eitzim, as we learned a couple of days ago, they knew that he's Chayiv Misa, because the Pasuk says Mechalaleo Mois Yumos about Shabbos. They didn't know which Misa, because as we talked about over there, generally Mois Yumos by itself means Chenek. On the other hand, Moshe was figuring that maybe being Mechal Shabbos is tantamount to Avodah Zarah, and therefore should be Chayiv Skila, and he wasn't sure. And Hashem tells him, Rogim Yugim Oisei, the person is given Skila. So we see that. So now, obviously, when he was doing it, and Moitzim Oisei, the people who saw him, Mekoshish ate him and brought him to Beis Din, they couldn't have given him a warning, you Chayiv Skila, because they didn't know yet that he's Chayiv Skila. So therefore, we see, say the Chachamim that you don't need to know what Misa it is in order to give him Asra. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda counters that was a Hiras Shah. That was just Alpia Dibur. Hashem gave them special instructions to give him skila. We can't necessarily learn from that Ladoris. And then Rashi says, since the whole point of Asra is that it has to be Yuma Sames, that the dead person should be killed, as is the way the Pasuk phrases it, meaning from there we learn that he has to already be considered dead in the sense that he accepted the Misa on himself, then Rabbi Yehuda is saying he has to have accepted the actual Misa that he's going to get and not something else. So again, like we learned about the Ritzayach, you have an exception where we say that by him, if you can't kill him with that way, then you can kill him in some other way, but ordinarily you have to kill him only with the Misa that he was warned on, says Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the din of our Mishnah wouldn't necessarily work. In addition, we also learned on Daf on Ayin Ches Amud Beis, we said the other case in the Torah where they didn't know about whether he's Chayav Misa. The Mekalel, the Megadif, also was Haras Shah because they couldn't have given him Asra from Misa at all because they didn't even know whether he's Chayav Misa at all until Hashem told Moshe that he is.
I also thought that from that story in the story in Gemara, in the fact that we learn a raya that not only you cannot kill him b'misa, Shaino Shaloi, but you cannot kill him b'misa Shaino Chamura because they waited.
They waited because look, they didn't want to do. They didn't want here. It wasn't a case of a mix up between two people. Here, in the case of the Kosher Eitzim, they knew he's Chayav Misa. They just didn't know yet which Misa it is. So it's no problem to put him. They're going to put him in jail temporarily until Hashem tells them what to do. Because I mean, they could go ahead and do Chenek, just figuring that Kol Misa Amur Batar Sam Einan Chenek. But then it may turn out that it wasn't supposed to be Chenek. It was supposed to be something more. First of all, they can't do it again, and second of all, they've deprived the person of the necessary kapara that he needs. But yeah. The Mishnah said, on Niskolin ben Nisrof. And the Mishnah described that what does this mean? So, for example, you have Niskolin get mixed up with Nisrofin. Then we have the Machlokas of the Tanakama and Reb Shimon. Whether we give them all Sleifa because Sleifa is less severe, or whether we give them all Skila, as Reb Shimon says, because according to him, Skila is less severe. So the Gemara says, the Gemara is going to talk about the wording of the Mishnah. Masnid Rabbi Chezkel the Romi Brei. Rabbi Chezkel was teaching the Mishnah to his son Romi. We have in a number of places in Shas. Romi by Chezkel was mentioned. So here, Rabbi Chezkel was teaching his son Romi, and Nisrofin ben Niskolin. He worded the Mishnah that Nisrofin were mixed up with Niskolin. This is Rabbi Chezkel. So we have the Gemara is going to bring now Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara is going to bring now Rabbi Yehuda, another son of Rabbi Chezkel. This is the regular Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora in Shas. His full name was Rabbi Yehuda by Yechezkel, the Talmud of Shmuel. So now Rabbi Chezkel was his father. He had two sons, Talmud Chachamim, Romi and Rabbi Yehuda. Anyway, so Rabbi Chezkel is teaching his son Rami, and Nisrofin ben Niskolin, that you have Nisrofin got mixed up with Niskolin. Rabbi Shimon Ami Yidonu Biskila, that Rabbi Shimon says, you give them Skila Shah Sreifa Chamura, because Rabbi Shimon holds that Sreifa is Chamura, and therefore you can't be unnecessarily Machmer on them. Now, Omalei Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Chezkel that the wording of the Mishnah, the way you're saying it, can't really be correct. Abba, he says, Loi tisni yahochi, don't teach him this way, according to your girsa, hanisrofen, mixed up in niskolin, because whenever you say, like we talked about yesterday, whenever you say A mixed up with B, then it suggests that B is a larger number. So therefore, if you learn like that, if you learn the words, hanisrofen, miniskolin, then it implies that the ones who are getting skila are the majority, that the ones who are supposed to get skila are the majority. So Rabbi Yehuda says it can't be that way. My area, then what's the difference that Reb Shimon is saying that Sreifa is more chomer? You have a better reason why you can't give them all Sreifa. Not just because Sreifa chamura, but because most of them are niskolin anyway, and you should be going according to the Rav. Okay, so here's where Tosfos points out. We discussed previously that we can't necessarily go according to the Roiv when you're talking about somebody who didn't kill at all, or we talk about, for example, previously a person kills a Trefa, or you have a crowd of people, and some of them were Goyim, and some of them were Jews, or some of them were Trefas, and some of them healthy, or whatever. Then we don't necessarily, when we go according to the Roiv and when not, then, but here, in any case, we're talking about that all of them are Chayav Misa, so anyway, we can go according to the Roiv, and for that reason alone, we should be giving them all Skila. So Rabbi Chezkel asks, Ella Hefi Asniye, so how should I teach the Mishnah? So Rabbi Yehuda answers him like the Girsa that we have in the Mishnah, Hanisrofin v'Nisrofin. The Nisrofin got mixed up in the Nisrofin. Even though the Nisrofin are the Roiv, nevertheless, Rabbi Shimon Omer B'Skila, Rabbi Yehuda B'Skila, Rabbi Shimon still says that you give them Skila, Shasreifa Chamura. Even though Roiv would tell us to give them Skila, because we're talking about, Roiv would tell us rather to give them Sreifa, because this is Sreifa or the Sreifa people are the majority. Nevertheless, Rabbi Shimon is saying you have to override Roiv in that case because you can't give them a punishment which is harsher than they're supposed to get. And some of them were chayev only skila, which according to him is less chomer than sefer, and therefore that's how it is. Well, you might ask, how does that help? Yehochi aim a sefer. Terbiches Las. Well, what good does that do? And then what are you going to do with the Seifa of the Mishnah? The Chamim you don't know with Seifa, where the Chamim say you give them Seifa, Shaskila Chamura, because Skila is more Chamur. Why do the Chamim have to mention the point that Skila is more Chamur? Typically, Diruba Nisrafin, you know. Anyway, most of them are Nisrafin, and for that reason alone, you should be giving them Seifa. So one way or the other, whether you have the words Nisrafin, Miniskolin, or Niskolin, Miniskolin, either way, some part of the Mishnah doesn't work. The answer is, Rabbi Yehuda answers, because that part of the Mishnah, the Chachamim are replying to Rabbi Shimon, and they're telling him as follows. What they're telling him is like this. It's true that anyway we should be giving them skila, because we should be giving them Sreifa, because we go according to the Roiv, and here the Roiv of them are Chayiv Sreifa. But in any case, they're saying the doch the amet sreifa chamura. But you're pointing out that no, sreifa is more chamur, and therefore that would be a reason to give them skila. No, they tell them loy skila chamura. You should know that skila is more chamur, as they argue it out in the Mishnah. In other words, so basically they're saying two things. When they say they're saying we give them sreifa because we're anyway talking because of the roiv. But you're saying we should go according to the miut because sreifa is more chomer. No, in fact skila is more chomer, and therefore we can't bring them to the one that's more chomer. So in other words, basically they're telling him two arguments. In this case, anyway, we have strong reason to say that they would be chayv skila. You who are arguing we should go according to the miut because skila is less chomer. No, skila is more chomer, and that's a second reason why not to do it. So now, once this discussion was over, Amalei Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel says to Rabbi Yehuda, Shinina, sharp one, which is his favorite name for Rabbi Yehuda throughout Shas, Loi Temelei La'avucha Hachi. What you said was correct. However, you shouldn't have told your father that, where you told him outright that he learned the Mishnah wrong, where you told him, Loi Tisni Abba, Loi Tisni Hachi. Don't teach my brother Rami, the Mishnah, like this, because you're not supposed to do that to your father. That's not Kibbud Avein. El, the Tanya, as we learn in a Brisa, Harei Shor Ya'ovim Oivra Al Direi Torah. Suppose a person's father is over on something in the Torah. Lo Yomalei Abba Avauta Al Direi Torah. Don't tell him flat out, Tati, you were over on what it says in the Torah. Ela Yomalei Abba Kach Kosavat Torah. You say to him, Tati, this is what it says in the Torah. Now, the Gemara is assuming, says Rashi, that we mean bitmia. Abba kach kosu v'torah. Is that what it says in the Torah? So the Gemara says, wait a minute, what good does that do? So he says, Hainu hach. Isn't that the same thing? When you're telling him in a tone of voice like that, that amounts to saying, how could you be saying that when it clearly says opposite to that in the Torah?
I'd rather say it as is.
One second. That's the Rambam's explanation. I'll explain in a second. This is first worth explaining according to Rashi. So Rashi understands that it means that the Gemara understood that at first he's telling him bitmia, he's telling him as a fact. So, and no, Ella Oimeloi, no, that he's telling it as a question. So no, Ella, no, what he tells it to him, you know, Benichusa, not as a question, but as a statement. Abba Mikra Vatura Kosu, Mikra Kosu Vatura Kahu, it says such and such on the positive, and let the father realize to himself, you know what, wait a minute, then that contradicts, then that contradicts the way I was learning it, and I realize it, or what I was doing, and I should realize to correct it. The Rambam seems to understand it the other way around. The Rambam understands that the Gemara had asked that it means if he's saying Abba Kach Kosa Vatorah, then that amounts to telling him, you know, it says this in the Torah, meaning, and you're wrong. So instead, the answer is that you don't say it, you ask him as a question, not as a rhetorical question, derech tmiya, like Rashi said in the Hava Amina, but rather the Rambam is understanding that you say it to him as an actual question. Tati, what does it mean when it says in the Torah such and such? And then he's going to realize that it means, oh, wait a minute, well, that contradicts what I was saying or what I was doing. Now there is a point. You do find sometimes that we find throughout Shas, we have other examples where fathers and sons do argue in halacha. So there is such a concept. We have an example of that Rambam brings in Hilchos Shchita. He says about a particular din. In Hilchos Tzreifas, he says, my father is one of the ones who says this case is Oster, and I hold that it's Mutter. So there are cases definitely where a son can argue with his father in halacha. One thing is where it's not face to face. In that case, the Rambam is writing it years after his father passed away. But you have other examples, you have other cases like that. But so there is the possibility. After all, you know, the Torah belongs to all of us equally. But nevertheless, a son still has to show derech eretz to his father, even when they're debating in Torah.
Just one perk. How do you know which of the Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon said Sreifa is killer? Simon. Yehuda.
Simon.
The Noah of the Sreifa.
Well, okay. Yeah, very cute. All right. So you're Judge Tomo was safe. Very cute. Okay.